T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's why we bring in baseball insiders who know the stuff they're talking about.
Maybe Ken Rosenthal, our baseball insider, will be able to explain what the deal was with Loss last
night. I'm guessing probably he was watching baseball too.
Knowing Ken, he probably is watching some baseball game somewhere. What's going on, Ken?
I don't know. I was watching Idol last night with my kids.
Oh, okay. Idol.
Was Jordan Sparks the right winner then? You can help us out.
Jordan Sparks was indeed the right winner.
Okay. Because I didn't know, and I'll take your word for it. My wife said she was the right winner, too. So two opinions that are the same. Hey, let's look league-wide before we talk about the Red Sox and other stuff here. You wrote an interesting piece on foxsports.com, and I'm with you on this one. That's why I thought it was interesting, because it agrees with me. What Jason Giambi did or didn't do is bad enough, but I just have this slimy little feeling of retribution in all this. Hey, you know, he flunked a drug test too here a year or so ago. The timing of this thing just sort of stinks for me.
I agree. And what happened here was the comments to USA Today were made about a week ago. I don't think they can discipline him. I don't think they can suspend him. I don't think the Yankees can void his contract. There's not enough there. We don't know what he did exactly or when he did it. He just said he was wrong for doing quote-unquote that stuff. So what happens? A week later, we hear that he tested positive for amphetamines. New York Daily News reports that. And I've heard that it's possible that that report is inaccurate, but I'm going to go with it. For the purpose of the discussion, I think it most likely is accurate. T.J. Quinn's a very good reporter. And it smells, if you ask me, because of the timing. And it does seem like it could be retribution. Now, I don't know who T.J. Quinn's source was. I don't know if it's from Major League Baseball. It could be from somewhere else. My point in the column is that the players were promised confidentiality in the amphetamines agreement for the first time offense. You flunk once, your name does not get out there, you do not get penalized. That has been now violated twice with two guys at Major League Baseball wishes would go away, Barry Bonds and Jason Giambi. I don't think there's a coincidence.
Well Kenny, let me ask you this. Look, I know Jason Giambi is one of the most popular players in baseball. He's probably going to have a lot of support from baseball players. Does he have a lot of support from his own camp? I'm talking about his agent. I think he's an Arn Tellem guy. Is that correct?
He's an Arn Tellem guy, yes.
How is this playing with Arn Tellem and some of the other people who are firmly in Jason Giambi's camp?
Well, I don't know. Arn Tellem is not a guy who speaks very frequently with reporters, so I can't speak with knowledge of that. But they're going to defend Giambi, and I think the feeling among several agents and union people is that if anything goes down here regarding discipline for what he said, they're going to challenge him. And they don't think there's anything of substance there. They think that if the Yankees wanted to go after the contract, they should have done it already. So I don't know that he's got problems there. I don't know that he has great problems with the Yankees either. To an extent, the Yankees need him, and they need him to be productive. So I don't see the contract being an issue. I know that the trade possibility surfaced this week. George Kahn in your post wrote that the Angels had inquired before all this, of course, went down. I don't see that happening either. The guy's got a no trade, and he's got $21 million in salary each of the next 2 years. So my basic feeling, Michael, is that this is all going to blow over, as it blew over with Bonds when we learned of his positive amphetamine test, and he'll just be Jason Giambi, and people will have their opinions of him.
Now I'm asking you, Kenny, to get into this guy's head, which is unfair to do. I'll ask anyway. What do you think the motivation was for Jason Giambi to come close to saying, I'm sorry for taking steroids, but stopping short and saying, I'm sorry for taking that stuff? Why did he do it?
I have no idea, and I can't get inside his head. You can possibly say, well, he does feel guilty about it, and he wanted to make that known. Some people are wondering whether those comments were made off the record and then there was some miscommunication and they were printed. I don't know that either, because Giambi hasn't said that that was the case. So I really don't know his motivation. I don't particularly care what his motivation was. It's just that guy that is honest in many ways and yet is not honest in a full sense because he doesn't give a public accounting of what exactly he did. He hints at it, but hasn't said for sure what exactly went down.
Let's turn our attention to another troubled ball player in a totally different way. There was an incendiary piece in the Tampa Tribune yesterday about Elijah Dukes, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays outfielder, gifted outfielder, and the marital troubles that he's having. The piece yesterday included a tape-recorded voice message played to the reporters by the estranged wife of Dukes in which he threatened to kill her and her kids, I might add.
Right.
He was held out of the lineup last night. The Devil Rays say he'll be back in the lineup today. Where's this whole thing headed?
That is a really good question. I don't know how much longer they can stand behind him. Now, clearly it's a case where you let the legal process play out, and while this certainly sounds extreme, we all know that in divorce cases things get thrown around from both sides sometimes that can be ugly. And certainly sounds to me from the outside like the wife is not fabricating this by any stretch of the imagination. It needs to be taken extremely seriously. At the same time, I'm not sure, the Devil Rays are going to rush to judgment here because, let's face it, if you're committed to Elijah Dukes through all he has done so far, and he's had a series of suspensions and arrests, then you probably stay the course until the legal system dictates otherwise. But if I were them at this point, I think I would very strongly consider taking a stand.
Let's get back to the field here for a second, Kenny, and keep in mind that nothing is a correct answer when I ask you this. What did we learn from this most recent three-game series between the Red Sox and Yankees?
I think the one thing we learned is that the Yankees aren't dead, and we shouldn't think that they're dead. They've now won 3 of 4, and they hit a little bit better. I think they played overall a little bit better. I think Messina is a genuine concern. We learned that as well. And while the division might be out of reach, or at least currently out of reach, and I don't see it getting that much better for them in the division, the wild card is not out of reach. I think they're 6.5 back in the wild card. And if you're an optimist about the Yankees, you'll say, well, Clemens comes back possibly Monday or Tuesday. Phil Hughes comes back eventually. And at that point, you have a pretty decent rotation, a rotation that can rest your bullpen. The offense has to be better than what it's shown. And there's a good run in them. I can see all that. I can see the logic for all that. At the same time, I still think they're old. I still think they're going to have issues, be it with Messina, Pettit, Damon, some of their other older guys. And I think it's going to be a season-long thing. But to count them out is always dangerous, as everyone up there knows. And I just don't think anyone should do that yet.
We had an emailer who did the legwork for us on this and broke it all down. The New York Yankees have paid Carl Pavano over $2 million per start, over $359,000 per inning, and if you want to take it to the extreme, $23,474 per pitch as a member of the New York Yankees. Is this one of the biggest mistakes in baseball history?
Yes, and they weren't the only ones ready to make it. Your Boston Red Sox were in there. Detroit, Seattle, and Baltimore all bid. In fact, some of those teams bid more than the Yankees for Carl Pavano. And while certainly now you look back and say, oh, man, how could this have happened? I thought at the time it wasn't a bad signing. I know the National League, American League thing is always a concern, but he was coming off a really good year. And the other thing now, he has a torn ligament in the elbow. And sure, the injuries have been extensive and almost hard to believe, but I don't know that a guy is going to fake a torn ligament in his elbow and say, I want Tommy John surgery. And I know there's questions about his competitiveness, and I understand that. It's fair. But the guy seems to be hurt, if you ask me. I don't know that anybody would willingly take a 12 to 18-month rehab after a surgery like that and just say, that's a great thing for me. I don't see that.
Hey, Kenny, I'm wondering, were there questions about his competitiveness when he
not
was in
to this extent. No,
okay,
no.
In Florida, Montreal, anything like that?
I don't remember it even coming up. I think there were some questions about how tough he was, whether he was soft. But it was not as if he was a guy who said, oh, my gosh, watch out for him. In fact, like I said, there was an extensive bidding war for him, and it just didn't work out.
Does he have an ally? We know all the Yankees.
On the clubhouse.
I was going to say, no, not the pitching coach, not Joe Torre, nobody is on his side, or he
well,
didn't have a top out
anyway,
there?
Michael, I mean, it's over for him with New York.
Really?
He won't come back in time. At best, he comes back next August or September, and I don't think we should hold our breath waiting for that to happen. But no, I don't think he has a true ally. Now, Cashman was quoted today as saying, I always believed his injuries were real, and that's just how it went. I don't know what else he can say. And, again, the one thing, Michael, and you've been in the business, in my end of the business, so you understand, I think, what I'm talking about here. When you question a player's injury, when you question whether he is indeed hurt, that is a very dangerous thing to me. People have different pain thresholds. People have different levels of being injured. And to say the guy's a faker, I have a problem with that. I'd have to be proven that that was the case before I believed it. And, again, he's got a torn elbow ligament. I don't know what more else needs to be said.
All indications are every media report that I've read so far today suggests that Roger Clemens was sort of okay, sort of, you know. But all indications are it doesn't matter. He's going to be pitching in Toronto next Monday or Tuesday. Have you seen anything that would be contrary to that?
No. The only thing I will say is that this accelerated program that he's on is largely of his own making. It's his idea. I think the Yankees are willing to pull back and say, listen, do you need one more start here? Let's take it. There's no rush. And frankly, I don't think that one start in 162 games is going to make a difference. If they think he needs more time to get his velocity back and just get his sharpness back, they should do that. And there may even be a back and forth between the two sides and some discussion and debate about this. But Roger's been the one driving the train. And it's a tough train to slow down when he's the guy, as everyone knows. But I think, based on last night, you'd have to look at it again and say, okay, where exactly is he? Would one more minor league start benefit him, or does it not matter? Is it just a case where you might as well just get to the majors? The one start's not going to make a difference, negatively or positively.
You know, I'm fascinated with, look, I don't enjoy steroid talk or HGH talk, whatever you want to call it, but I am fascinated that Bud Selig continues to keep this drama going. He was here last week in Boston, and he said on the air, I'm not sure where I'll be when Barry Bonds breaks the record. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. What do you think? Once again, I'm going to ask you to get into his head a little bit or just give us some perspective. Why do you think the commissioner is taking this stance on Barry Bonds in the home run chase?
Not exactly sure. I think part of it is he doesn't want to commit and get boxed in and then not show up and have people say, uh-huh, he stiffed him. There are things that come up in the course of a commissioner's life or day that may preclude him from being there. I don't know exactly what that might be, but I can certainly see where that would be part of his thinking. And the other part is maybe to make, in his mind, Barry Bonds squirm and feel uncomfortable and show that the sport is not entirely behind him by not making an early commitment. I think both those scenarios are possible. And in the end, if he decides not to go, I think it would be a cowardly way out. And I don't think it's the right thing to do. I think we all, be it whether you're in the media or the commissioner's office or part of the Giants front office, we all have to take our responsibility for what has happened here. And we all share a responsibility. He's the commissioner of the sport. Got to be there, if you ask me. And I've heard it suggested he should just stay away. I think Dave Vincent said it. Stay away, say you'll celebrate this, but you will not honor it. I don't think when you're the commissioner and you've been the commissioner of this era, you can get away with that.
I agree.
I would rip him. I would rip him, and I think everybody would rip him.
As you should. Yeah, it's not at this point, it's not his right as a commissioner. It's, as a matter of fact, it's an obligation for him to be there, it seems like.
Well, can I?
I would think.
Let me ask you, Ken, if this compromise would pass your muster. What if he's there, but he doesn't participate in any on-field ceremony honoring the new feat?
I don't have a problem with that. And I just think he has to be in attendance. Now, that would be scrutinized, too, and it would be questioned, but I don't have a problem with that.
See, I think that's what he's ultimately going to end up doing. He's going to be in attendance, but he's not going to be down on the field shaking Barry Bonds' hand and handing him a plaque from Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. Keep in mind, Dale, that Barry Bonds, from baseball's perspective, has been uncooperative with the steroids investigation, understandably so, since the under investigation himself, and he is kind of a demonic figure to them. So I can't see Bud wanting to go out of his way and congratulate him. And maybe there is that compromise. And maybe you can just even say that we wanted to do the ceremony low-key, we didn't want Bud there. There are ways around it. But I think that's certainly a possibility.
I think he has to be on the field. You don't have to go crazy and say Barry Bonds is he's someone for all Americans to admire. You just say he broke the home run record, you shake his hand, give him a plaque, and you bounce.
Yep. Well, we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Ken, we always appreciate the time. Where are you this weekend?
I am in Atlanta for Phillies versus Atlanta, and obviously, if you're a Philadelphian right now, you're waiting to hear how Brett Myers' shoulder is. I don't know if you guys saw what happened in the ninth inning last night of that game.
Boy, what a weird game that was.
It was rather astounding.
Maybe
talk about that one in Boston. Let me talk about that one in Philly for a long time.
You know, it's funny. Michael and I were shooting the breeze here off the air, and as a fan, I talked about how bad I think the umpiring crew was in New York last night with C.B. Buckner and Joe West. But then I look at the umpiring job done in that Philly-Miami game, and I'm going, whoa.
Right, but the play at the plate was inexcusable.
I agree with you. There's no doubt about it. They're human beings. Mistakes get made. But, man, that one's a tough one to miss.
I agree.
All right, Kenny.
Ken, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you later.
Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports joining us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.